Hey, welcome to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, here on the 2nd of April, 2021. And my other computer machine's making strange noises. That's nothing new. In my concise little office here, I got another machine pretty close by to my main one. So now and then you hear little bells and whistles going off. At any rate, as we speak, I'm reading of yet another incident. We've seen so many of these over the years, right? An incident where we're told a Capitol police officer is dead after a car rammed into two cops at a barricade outside the U.S. Capitol on Friday afternoon. The driver got out of the vehicle while appearing to brandish a knife before being shot and killed by authorities. So dead men tell no tales. We'll never know exactly what this was in terms of the standpoint or perspective of the alleged perpetrator. But right away, this strikes me as a little strange in the sense that those barricades outside the Capitol, around the Longworth building, around the other House office buildings, and similar barricades around the Capitol itself, these barricades are not, you know, a little, how would you say, they're not, you know, something. They're not modest at all. I'm trying to find the words. They're very, very formidable barricades, large concrete barriers. So to ram your car into one of them would be absolutely ridiculous, or to even attempt to do so. You're not going to get anywhere at all. Once those barricades are up, a vehicle is going nowhere. So it would be futile, based on what little we know here, for someone to take a vehicle and attempt to breach the Capitol or any of the House office buildings, whether it's the Rayburn building or the Longworth building or the similar Senate House office buildings on the opposite side of the Capitol. You're just not going to get anywhere. So why anyone would even attempt to do this, knowing they'd be shot down, would be, you know, it's hard to even fathom why this would be the case. And so just dealing with this news media reporting. I'm looking at a News Nation Now item. That's what this news service is called. I'm not sure I've ever heard of this. It's listed on a local affiliate, Local 23 KVEO, which is a combined CBS and NBC affiliate here in South Texas for broadcast news. News Nation Now. So it says here, the two Capitol officers were taken to the hospital. One of the officers and the suspect have since died, police said in a Friday afternoon media briefing. The crash and shooting happened at a checkpoint near the Capitol as Congress is on recess. So any political, dividends that the alleged perpetrator would get out of this would be greatly diminished as well. If Congress is on recess, how do you send your message? How do you get the message that you're, let's say, angry with the way things are going? So that, in my mind, diminishes the would-be or intended political impact of this alleged event. And yes, I say alleged event. I wonder how many people actually witnessed the event itself to corroborate what these reporters, who asked very little questions, were told at this press conference here this afternoon in D.C. So here we have another one of these strange, mysterious incidents. And if you take it at face value, we have someone in a vehicle that tried to drive right up to or ram into these formidable barricades, which, again, is not going to get you anywhere. And then you're going to get out brandishing a knife. So you're bringing a knife to a gunfight. All these officers in and around the Capitol are armed to the teeth, M16s, you name it. And then you're going to do this when Congress is not in session so as to have minimal political effect. So right away, there are logical fallacies and very questionable aspects of this alleged event. And I'm just dealing with it fresh out of the box here, ladies and gentlemen, just to show in a real-time situation or close to real-time, just how flimsy these stories are. If you're a reporter, you would ask the very same questions, a reporter worth his or her salt, that is, you'd ask the very same questions that I'm asking This doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Why would somebody brandish a knife dealing with, dealing with many dozens of armed officers and knowingly, you know, this is knowingly the case. Anybody that is familiar with DC at all knows that since before COVID, since 9/11, there have been armed agents and armed police, Capitol Police, on the roof of the Capitol, on the perimeter of the Capitol, on the stairs of the Capitol, the east side stairs. You cannot even use them to go in the Capitol. You have to use narrow designated doors on each side. I use them myself as a reporter on the occasions that I'm there. So just getting in the Capitol building, even before they put all this barricades up since the January 6th so-called insurrection, just getting in there was difficult and very, very tightly regulated with high security. So this is really a difficult thing to believe right out of the starting gate. Very difficult indeed. At any rate, in just a few minutes, at about quarter after or just before, I'll be bringing Jim Condit Jr. on. I mentioned this past Wednesday when I had Jason Mangum on the show, my partner with WorldImpactNews.net. I mentioned that Jim Condit Jr. would return to the show today. He agreed to do that even on relatively short notice, Good Friday and all. Happy Good Friday out there, by the way. And we're going to talk about a very useful topic about how to be more politically active and how to have more political impact in a very concrete way by getting involved at the precinct level, by changing resetting the dials politically and having more influence on what people get nominated to be candidates in the first place. Long before any votes are cast or counted, ladies and gentlemen, there's the nomination process. And this is important. More grassroots people, everyday people, can get involved at the precinct level. And this is something Jim Condit is very well versed at. So we can nail down all possible ways, however distant it may seem at times, to take back some control in this country from government levels, government at all levels, that has went to great lengths to remove the people from the equation, to diminish the influence of people in any way that they possibly can in the political process. So Jim Condit will be on shortly to talk about that, starting at about quarter after or a little before, once again, and then till the end of the show at 3 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central. Of course, this show runs Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 2 to 3 Central, 3 to 4 Eastern. But I'll be keeping, like many reporters on RBN, I'll be keeping a close eye on this ambiguous incident on Capitol Hill, a vehicle ramming into two officers, his vehicle, at a barricade. Why wouldn't the officers see that coming? Why wouldn't they hide behind these formidable barricades? That's what they're for, to protect life and limb and to protect property. And then we're told this guy brought a knife to a gunfight, and he should have known full well he'd be shot down like a dog, which he reportedly was. And again, just to reiterate, this is done when Congress evidently is on recess, so there's minimal political impact anyway. And it's just a very difficult thing to believe in terms of first blush exposure to this and in terms of the initial reports coming out of this. And it's also interesting to note the way this news report from News Nation Now is worded. The crash and shooting happened at a checkpoint near the Capitol as Congress is on recess. See, so a checkpoint would be a very high security place. You would see a vehicle coming before it gets to you. And it comes as the Washington region remains on edge nearly 3 months after a mob of armed insurrectionists stormed the Capitol as Congress was voting to certify Joe Biden's presidential win. There were basically no armed insurrectionists storming the Capitol in terms of the number of people there versus those that might have been armed. The number of unarmed would have vastly outweighed any that were armed. And certainly there were no known AR-15s there or anything like that, none that I saw. There might have been a few handguns among the so-called insurrectionists, but most people, if they had a knife, anything beyond their placard and their hand signs would be very surprising. And so this is something to, again, keep a close eye on, but it's sounding very, very thin and flimsy at first blush here. So we'll see what happens with that. We'll talk about it more in the days and weeks ahead, of course. Now, in a couple minutes before we bring Jim Condon on to talk about the precinct system, it's also notable that I got up this morning a little late, had to sleep in from some travels. I had been near the border to the east, near Eagle Pass, doing a little reconnaissance. At any rate, the TV is now coming out. This is the local affiliate. I believe this time it was, once again, KVEO, the combined CBS-NBC affiliate here in South Texas in the Rio Grande Valley. They're now announcing that the CDC is saying that if you've had the vaccinations, that you can now safely travel. And yet they turn around and say that you still have to mask on the planes and you still have to social distance as much as you can on the airplanes and in the airports, even if you've had the vaccines. But now you don't have to get a test before you get on the plane, nor do you have to get a test when you get off the plane, unless the destination you're going to, say a foreign country, requires testing when you get off the plane and visit that foreign country. And what it's creating is a vaccine apartheid system here, ladies and gentlemen, where the vaccinated people have to go over here and the non-vaccinated people have to go over here. The vaccinated people are allowed to do this, that, and the other thing. The unvaccinated are disallowed to do this, the same things, the same this, that, and the other thing. And the apartheid system is quickly taking form here. And yet this news release, this news report this morning, that is on the television, all the reporter did was read off the CDC website. And what's amazing there is that anybody can just get up the, call up the CDC website and just start reading. So that's what reporting has been reduced to, reporting on what's amounting to a vaccine apartheid system, and the reporter simply doing what anybody can do who can read, get on the CDC website and just start reading it, asking no questions, posing no questions, and just barking out the orders of the CDC. The media is nothing but a mouthpiece of the state. Not that we didn't know this already, but it's just becoming clearer and clearer in each passing day just how much that is the case, where they don't even simply call the CDC and ask basic questions, like such as, why do people that have been vaccinated, if they're so protected, why do they have to wear a mask on the plane and in the airport? If this protection is so good, why the continued masking? Simply getting rid of the mandate or the recommendation that people be tested before they get on or off a plane really doesn't mean much, because the tests are so notoriously inaccurate anyway, with so many false positives. And that's why there's so many people, and so many people suspected of being a case of COVID. The heavy caseload is from all the false positives and all the suspected alleged COVID cases that have not been proven. That's what shoots up the caseload, not the so-called droplets going through the air or on shared surfaces, which has never been proven. So the media is really, as it gets lazier, as it does its job even less and less, it is taking us more and more into this vaccine apartheid worldview and mindset and great global reset, as the globalists like Klaus Schwab would call it. Quite disturbing, quite sobering, to say the least, along with another armed incident, another ambiguous incident in the annal of mass shootings, especially in the United States. Another lone nut bites the dust. What do you know? Okay, I believe we now have Jim Condit Jr. on to talk about the precinct system and how we can make a difference there. How you doing, Jim?
Hello. Oh, Mark, I'm sorry.
A lot of line noise there. Are we okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just introducing you saying that we're going to talk about the precinct system and how people can make a difference.
Good.
We've got 3 minutes before the first break, and then we've got another short segment as you get comfortable there.
I'm sorry. And, yeah, I was just saying goodbye to someone here. Listen, if we got 3 minutes, let me just tell everybody that we rejuvenated last Sunday our precinct calls, which we... There's a lot of people across the country who want to do something, and they are now, you know, wanting to do something enlightened of all the things happening, and they're happy. Some of them are elated to hear the neighborhood precinct executive strategy can cause us to really be able to get into the thick of things in the country. And turn things around potentially if enough people get involved. So with social media and with conference calls and all that, email, we could go to identifying and unifying a loose coalition of what we need, about 250,000 people nationwide, to try to take over the entire Republican Party. And maybe we can go into that so people can understand how within reach that is. You know, it's a strategy that doesn't demand an unreasonable amount from anybody.
Yeah, hey, Jim, a quick note. Whatever you're doing now, your sound is much better. At first, your sound was very weak, but if you can stay as reasonably still as possible and keep it the way it is, we'll have good sound throughout the rest of the show. Just a footnote.
No, that's fine. When you called me, I was back in a part of the house, my sister's house I'm in, that was probably out of the way, and now I'm out more in the, you know, where the Wi-Fi probably works better and all that, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's whatever you're doing now, it's right. Let's just try and keep her steady. Yeah, what okay. I've learned about the voting system, Jim, before we get into the first break, is that, you know, before votes are cast or counted, the average person has more influence than they realize on getting involved at the precinct level of, let's say, the Republican Party, and having more of an effect on who gets nominated for different offices up to and including U.S. Congress, you name it, state level, county level. This is what people, I think, are overlooking.
Yeah, and Dan Schultz, who is a lawyer in Arizona, he was on our 2007-2008 calls, which were brought together by Ron Paul people, but it was harder to get people interested then. Things weren't as bad. He says, if you're not involved in the neighborhood precinct executive strategy, you're not involved in politics. Now, that wouldn't be totally true if we had an honest vote count, but in 99% of the counties where those three companies we've talked about on other shows determine whether your vote's going to be counted or not, it is true. We need to get into the precinct project, neighborhood precinct project system, to change the party leadership if need be and change the voting back to a paper ballot hand counted at the precinct before the ballots leave the public site. And that's determined at the county level, and you elect your county leaders only by the neighborhood precinct system. And we'll explain what that is for people that are not clear on what it is.
Okay, we'll be back with more right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love, It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to Stop the Presses. The next segment here, the short one before the bottom of the hour, is the 2nd of April, 2021. And my return guest is Jim Condit Jr., who's really the top authority in my mind in terms of his hardcore experience in dealing with election theft. Over the years, he worked with the Collier brothers, and they produced the well-known book, Vote Scam, The Stealing of America. And we've talked about many things on this show pertaining to election theft and the stealing, of course, of the 2020 election this past November and many other aspects of this issue over the years, especially in recent times. Jim, what you just said before the break is really important. Getting involved at the precinct level not only helps people get involved in getting better candidates, but you can actually change the way, or at least have some influence on changing the way votes are counted. And if that's true, if someone like myself, let's say, or, you know, my neighbor, whomever, can get involved like this and not only have some influence on how votes are counted, but also who's nominated, that's a fundamental change that would mitigate against this private voting syndicate we have, this election syndicate, where our votes are privately counted by this syndicate in secret, under the guise of this so-called most honest election system in the world. So, you know, this is a very fundamental topic here.
Right, and there's several aspects to it. One is the tremendous power of the neighborhood precinct executive. Now, we've decided to call it neighborhood precinct executive, short NPE, because if you say precinct alone, it's a hypnotic cue to put people to sleep, I've found over the years. And they think it's a police precinct, which is what you generally hear, you know, the police precinct on TV shows or in your city. This is your different. This is your neighborhood voting precinct, really. And let me say what it is first, because some people may be saying, well, what the heck is this? Why haven't I heard of it? First of all, let me say, Mark, again, I quoted the Arizona attorney Dan Schultz before the break, and he said since our calls on 2007, he was already promoting Precinct as we were for many years, and he joined our calls. And he said then, and he says now, and I steal it from him, if you're not involved in the neighborhood precinct system, you're not in politics. And that's especially true because of those three companies being hired by all 3,000-plus counties, except for a few counties don't hire them. But where they're hired, they count our votes on their secret computer programs with the permission of the local board of elections. It's really scandalous. It's illegal. It's a betrayal of the trust of mostly these shallow local people who think, great, these big companies are going to take all our work off us on counting the votes. The problem is we lose the counting of the votes. So let's first just say what the precinct is. We all know there's one country, for our country, as far as our country goes, United States of America. There's 50 states, and those 50 states are divided into counties. Now, very few people know that there's 3,141 counties in the United States, but that's how many there is. So Ohio, where I live, has 88 counties. Florida has 67. Iowa has 99. New Hampshire has 10, and so forth. So every state's divided into counties. I'm sure everybody knows what county they live in, right? So what is not known or is not consciously grasped really prominent way, which is what needs to happen, what we all should have been taught in grade school and high school. Those counties are divided into neighborhood precincts. Those precincts have exact boundaries, just like the state and the county do, exact boundaries. And it's usually in the city's 10 or 15 streets around your house, okay? And that's important to grasp. If you go down to your board of elections and say, I'd like the map of my precinct or of all the precincts, you'll find it's about 10 or 15 streets around your house, okay? And sometimes one side of the street's in one precinct and one in the other, but you have an exact list of all the addresses in your precinct, in your voting precinct, and you and all those people go to the same place to vote on election day. So in my precinct, we go to White Oak Senior Center, okay, in White Oak, which is just outside of Cincinnati, okay? So I hope everybody's clear on that. These little neighborhood precincts are very important. They're defined in state law in almost all states, if not all states, okay? And the parties that are recognized by that state, which in Ohio are right now the Democrat, the Republicans, and the Libertarians aren't always recognized. They lose it every once in a while and have to get it back. Constitution Party at one time was recognized, but not now in Ohio. So those three parties, but let's just, for the sake of this conversation, focus on the Republican Party and the state of Ohio, just so I can be precise.
Okay, Tim, we're going to come up on the break at the bottom of the hour, and that's a good cliffhanger there, that we're going to focus on the Republican Party based on these lesser-known entities known as precincts, which are political subdivisions of the counties, as you rightly and accurately pointed out. And so after the bottom of the hour break, you're going to have full reign here to take us through this step by step, what it is, what we do with it, and what you've been doing lately on social media and conference calling to help put this together.
Okay.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Thanks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love talkstreamlive.com.
TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Every day we roll from town to town. We see another mom and papa just getting shut down. And it's the same five stores everywhere we go. And it's the same damn music on the radio.
Of Stop the Presses on the 2nd of April, 2021. My return guest, Jim Conda Jr. We're talking about those little known and we're getting some strange line noise there. We'll try and iron that out. Jim, continue. You were talking about the Republican Party and these lesser-known political subdivisions of the counties known as precincts and what people can do. Go right ahead.
Right. Well, in your neighborhood precinct, anybody party recognized by your state, we're going to use Ohio, the Democrats, the Republicans, Libertarians, can all run someone for neighborhood precinct executive, NPE, again, as an abbreviation we're using. Forget the Libertarians for now, and the Constitution Party, which I really like, the Constitution Party, forget them. The Democrats, for the moment, the Democrats and Republicans control every county, every state, and the United States and the federal government. They're the ones. That's why we have to fight in those parties, at least a lot of us do. I hate both parties politically for what they've done but over the last 50 years. But it's like when our founding fathers, they had to fight the British, the most powerful empire in the world then. They couldn't say, gee, the British seem too tough. Let's fight the Brazilians, you know. No, the British were stopping us from becoming independent. They wanted to control our money, which Benjamin Franklin said was the reason for the Revolutionary War. We wanted to issue it ourselves. We had to fight the British. And right now we got to fight these moral monsters in charge of the Democrat and Republican Party. And we can beat them if enough people, if several hundred thousand would get involved, which is very simple to do. And there's people that want to do it. There's tons of me. Huh?
I have to interject. Are you on speakerphone or direct?
I am not on speakerphone. Does it sound like I am?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like you are. Whatever you did before the break was better. It's just a little
bit. I'm doing the same.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. Does this sound any better?
Yes.
All right, let's do that. Sometimes my phone gets goofy on speaker, and now I got to change from speaker to non-speaker, as long as you can hear this.
That's much better. Okay, you were saying that the Democrats and Republicans pretty much rule the roost top to bottom, but the precincts, these subdivisions of the counties are a grassroots bottom-up approach. So what can people do?
And the power is so great. If you understand the neighborhood precinct executive or neighborhood precinct captain, they're called different things in different places. We have an article written by a guy named Rick Herron here from the greater Cincinnati area, written in the 80s, called The Most Powerful Office in the Land, about the neighborhood precinct. The reason for that is, and let me just finish how you become a precinct executive. It's easy, and most people can do it. It may be out of our comfort zone because we weren't taught it in grade school and high school like we should have been, but we got to get it into our comfort zone, and it's really kind of fun when you get involved. And so what you do is, in Ohio, we're going to use Ohio Republican Party as an example, and it's the same for Democrats, too, in Ohio. On the even years, like coming up in May 2022, okay, about a year and a month from now, the precinct executive position for the Republican Party is on the Republican primary ballot, okay? So when you go to vote in the primary, you vote for who's ever running for Congress in the Republican primary, who's ever running for coroner. At the bottom of the ballot, the last thing is your, I don't know what they call it exactly on the ballot, but it's your precinct position, your precinct executive position for your neighborhood precinct. So if you get five signatures to get on that ballot in your neighborhood, and you can get a walking list from the Board of Elections exactly who's in your precinct, who's a registered Republican, who's an independent, and then you can register anybody who's not registered if you bring registration cards. And you get five valid signatures from the Republicans, the independents, or newly registered. You can't get Democrats. Same goes for the Democrat. If you're running for Democratic precinct, you get Democrats, independents, or newly registered people. So you get five signatures. You're on the ballot. You turn them in by the deadline, the same as the congressman doing the others. You're on the ballot. And then if you're unopposed and one-third of these precincts are vacant, Mark, the most important thing we can do as individuals is vacant, and nobody knows it's happening, you know. And nobody knows it's happening because our conservative leaders have failed us over the last 50 years, and we'll maybe get into that before the show is over. So you get your five signatures, you're on the ballot. If you're unopposed, you vote for yourself and you win. If you're opposed, then whoever gets the most votes win. It's usually like 11 to 9, 43 to 34. They sound like, baseball, basketball, and football scores because there's only, and a lot of people skip that position because they don't know what it is and voting for it. So if you win, then you're the precinct executive for the Republican Party, and you win because you won on the primary ballot. Now, here's where we're losing the country. Nobody knows that a month later, in Ohio it's by state law, a month later after the May primary in June, the Republican Party gets a big room like a convention center here or one of the big hotels, and all of the people who are elected precinct executive go there on an appointed night that they get notified of by mail. You go on an appointed night and you vote for the head of the party. That is where we're losing the country, Mark, because the rhinos, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, they have put their people in almost every county in the United States running the Republican and Democratic Party. So the Republicans are run by rhinos as a rule. And they, once they're elected, those party leaders in your county kind of make all the decisions for the next 2 years, mainly because most people just go home or they work for the county. So who is elected to the party, head of the party and their executive board will endorse the candidate for the Republican primary. 95% of the time, the endorsed candidates win over the last 50 years. They decide how the votes counted. That's all important. We've got to get back to legal elections with paper ballots counted by people at the polling place at the close of the election day before the ballots leave the public site. That's the most important thing we could do because people are so disgruntled, the challengers would often win them in a fair count, even if people didn't know who they were, because they hate those running the government so much. And that's why we haven't seen more new people elected, because these the establishment's control, literally controlling the vote count. So we change the vote count. You elect the party leaders as a neighborhood precinct executive. Then you elect those state leaders, go and elect the county leaders, go and like in Ohio, 88 of them go to Columbus and elect the state leader. They set all the rules for the state. They endorse the senators from the state. Then those 50 state leaders go to someplace like St. Louis and elect the head of the Republican Party who sets the rules for the national convention. So you can see all this power starts with the neighborhood precinct executive. Nobody thinks about that office if they've ever heard of it. And nobody, almost nobody, in the United States knows that those county meetings take place to elect your county leader. We need people in every county to run for these precinct positions, get elected, and elect new people. Let's just say for shorthand, we need Ron Paul, Trump-type people put in charge of the Republican Party at the county level, not George W. Bush, Mitch McConnell people, okay? So let me say this, and then maybe, I don't know, I hope I'm not losing everybody. It's literally down to this right now, because you can see that the shadow government, the deep state, the Rhino, whatever you want to call them, they are got a plan, and the plan is to kind of bring us under a soft tyranny, and then I believe a hard tyranny. They're using this COVID scare to abrogate a lot of our rights, like freedom of assembly, which is absolutely illegal. But we're either going to come down to having to pull out the guns, like 1776, which nobody wants to do, or we got to use the peaceful constitutional precinct system that's been set up for almost 200 years. Abraham Lincoln referred to it in 1860, so we got to get all of our precinct people to work the precincts to get the vote out. So you and I have been, and we're all working to peacefully save this country. None of us want a messy civil war where you wouldn't even know who to shoot. And then people would probably lose that if the president or the military didn't do. So we're not advocating violence, just to be clear. But it's so serious that people get involved in this peaceful constitutional way right now, so we can avoid having to use the Second Amendment to try if they come to take our guns someday, which Biden and Beto O'Rourke and other people have kind of said, hey, we might do that. Beto O'Rourke said, I will come take your guns. Well, that's when the Founding Fathers said to get out the Second Amendment. But to avoid all that, right now in this year, Mark, we could get on these conference calls, and we had one last week. We rejuvenated it. I got a few people that came forth that are helping me organize. And let me just tell everybody, if you want to be alerted to this next conference call, which is not Easter, we skip an Easter, to a week from Easter at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Central, we're going to have another conference call. And want everybody that's out there.
What time? 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, you mean?
No, I meant 5 p.m. Pacific and 7 p.m. Central, right? But here in 6 p.m. Rocky. But you're not going to people aren't going to remember that. What they need to do is email us at info@networkamerica.org. Our website for this, which needs to be made a little, it's already ready to go, but we got to make it easier for people to get in and participate. Networkamerica.org, and you email us at info@networkamerica.org. And then you'll get alerted of when we're going to have the call. We did it on something called Jitsi last time, but it's like Zoom. We're going to have it on some platform so that everybody can call in. They can be on camera if they want, or just by microphone. And that's where we're going to be.
You can also call in by phone if you don't have the computer access.
That's
correct.
That is correct. And we'll put that all in the emails leading up to this thing. So email us. And please do, if you have any inclination to do anything actively to help save the country, info@networkamerica.org. We're just a facilitator group. There's no way one group, one leader, five leaders. We need leaders in every county. And people want to do something. They want to do something. They don't know what to do. This is what we do. We could easily, on our open letter to DonaldTrump.com website, which I bought shortly after Trump announced a few years ago, we've begged somebody around him to tell him about this, because if he said, We got 10 phone lines set up. Call in. We'll help you run for precinct in your state. We need everybody to run for precinct. Within 6 months, we'd have the people running in every county, threatening to take back the county. Okay? Now, I don't know. I don't want to confuse people. Is there anything you think is – I don't know if there's going to be any callers today or if you have any questions. I want to go into something else on this, but is that fairly clear what I've said so far or not?
Yeah, I believe it is, Jim. You got your precincts, these political subdivisions of the counties. You got a lot of open seats because people don't know about the precinct captain, you know, the precinct executive positions. It's a vacuum that needs to be filled by the right people who are informed about the fact that the vote count's not honest, and this is one way to begin to rectify that from the bottom up, and also to nominate better people for office, which mitigates against all these incumbents that keep getting reelected.
Right. And so this is so we can take back the Congress and the presidency and the White House, I mean, the presidency and the Senate, and take back your city council and your – so, this is the way – that you do it, and it's the peaceful way, and it's there. It's just now why we did this in 1990, which may seem like a lifetime ago. That's when I was able to last organize it here in Cincinnati. I won't go into it in detail, but we beat the local Hamilton County Republican Party in 1990. Part of the reason was that they broke state law. They were so fat and lazy, and they were dominant then. They were, some people called it the best Republican Party organization in the country, Hamilton County, where Cincinnati is. They were so fat and lazy, they broke state law and didn't call the meeting on time. We got 10% of the precinct executive, which amounted to about 95 people, to sign to call the meeting, which is what the state law said, and we beat them at that meeting. But so few people were looking that they went up the line. My dad would have been head of the party then. In fact, I was just sitting with him this afternoon. He's 91 now, but he would have been head of the party, and he was greatly loved by, you know, a lot of people at the courthouse because he was a lawyer and a nice guy and everything, much nicer guy than I am. But at any rate, so we would have had that party, and we could have then said, look, everybody do this. But they rushed it up to the Ohio Supreme Court, and in the most crooked type of decision, stole it from us. Now, that wouldn't happen. Thousands of people were alert and watching in every county, but it did then. And so I'm just saying, we beat them. It's possible. We ran 700 people. They ran 900. And let me say one other thing about this. We have kind of half-jokingly, half-serious said, the conservatives, the constitutionalists, our allies, the people that love the country and the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, we've been walking around the last 50 years like drunken fifth graders, like fifth graders that have been fed something to make them drunk against their will. And the other side is like we're fighting Marines, the rhinos, the Democrats. We're fighting Marines with the drunken fifth graders. And we have drunken fifth graders because our leaders, the groups I like and you probably like or tend to like, the NRA, Right to Life, the Tea Party, the Ron Paul movement, the Trump movement, the Buchanan movement, did not tell the people what I'm telling you on this program. They didn't tell them to get involved and change the country. You got to get in your precinct, and we got to change the party, county party leaders, the state party leaders, the national party leaders, and we certainly got to change since 1988. We're in crying need to change the vote system, all done through the neighborhood precinct executive system. So now, when we were fighting them in 1990, okay. And this is really, I guess, the last point I have that I have to make. And that is, so our 700 people were pro-lifers, pro-Constitution. A lot of them didn't really get it. This is not like writing a letter. I'm not against writing letters. It's not like going to a rally and screaming and going home, okay? This is how they know we're coming after their job. We're saying, hey, you know, we're not only going to write you a letter and beg you to do something for the Constitution. We're coming to replace you because you've done a bad job. You're running illegal elections, okay? They knew what was happening. They sent 3 full-time paid national organizers in to fight us in 1990 between, February, April, January, February, April, or excuse me, what am I saying? February, March, April, and May 5th or so is the primary. They had three full-time organizers in there. We were all volunteers, okay? I was at the point I just sold my business. Me and about four or five other guys were working almost full-time on it. That's why we were able to make sure. But our people didn't really understand. They were doing it because this is another pro-life thing to do. This is another patriotic thing to do. But they didn't really get that it was essentially different than begging those in office to do something for us. This is where we become the party. We become the party leaders. We become the Congress. Now, our people are not trained to think like that. I mean, the good everyday people. The way that they're treated by all these organizations is almost like, look, the people in office already are superior beings to you. All you can do is beg them. When you get in these precinct meetings, you would be surprised. Our people are much sharper than the precinct people that are in there. Maybe some of them just got to shut up because they got county jobs. That's where they get most of their precinct people. They can't rebel against the bosses. But our people were a lot sharper, okay? And so we got to be thinking in terms of we're going to become party leaders. We're going to become the government. And we have not been trained that in high school and grade school. We have not been trained by our own leaders for the last 50 years to do that. And that's what we're trying to reverse here real quickly. And we're hoping that somebody can get to Trump to announce this if he wants to run again in 2024. Nothing could be better for them than to have there's about 250,000 neighborhood precincts in the country. Most people come to that number. I've heard as high as 300,000. But if you had Trump people in all those precincts who knew what they were doing and could go visit their neighbors before election time and get the vote back to being fair, that would be the best thing that could happen for the country. And I'm thinking of one other thing here, Mark. It used to be you'd have, like 30 years ago, you'd just say, well, it's not only we got a problem with this issue and that issue, but there's kind of this shadow government, this which people then looked at you like you were crazy. I never find anybody pushing back on deep state, thanks to Sean Hannity and Donald Trump. Everybody believes there's some kind of a deep state. But then you had to explain this, and some people say, well, they don't understand the Constitution enough, and I want everybody to understand the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But if somebody right now, Mark, is willing to fight against forced vaccines, they're willing to fight against them violating our freedom to assemble like they've been doing for the last year after the 3 weeks the governors are allowed to declare emergency. If they're willing to fight against forced vaccines, then we have a natural ally there, and we can educate them more about the whole scene when they get in here. So we don't really have to explain to people a lot that things are bad. They sense that there's something sinister pressing down on our liberties. And so as long as they want to stay free and not go under a tyranny, which is just about everybody, we're ready to work with them. So our next call, again, we're going to just try to have a bunch of calls and have other people do calls. And we got networkamerica.org set up so that people can sign up right now by nation, the national group, their state group, and their county group. We want to list where people are running for precinct, where we need people. You could see if this became a big project, first in everybody's mind, how quickly we could identify 250,000 people in both parties that were mad at what's happening. You know, I always say there's no reason the Democratic Party should be a communist party for the rest of our lives, you know. So anyway, Mark, I don't know. I hope I'm not overwhelming people with a fire hose, but that is basically what's happening. Email us at info@networkamerica.org. We'll tell you when the call is, and then we hope to basically not have the same people every week. Everyone's welcome, but we want to keep the people that are involved. We had 25 people on the first call. A few technical problems. There might have been more trying to get in, but we were seeking for about that number, but we let people spread it around. We wanted to do a test call. But we're going to do it 2 weeks from now. Just email to info@networkamerica.org, and then we'll let you know when this is happening and help. I think we got enough people now to help people use the Network America platform to organize, and they can be involved in anything else they want. It's just that we know, as long as we're running, Network America is not going to be shut down, and we allow people to talk to each other without a gatekeeper. There's no gatekeeper, but we're too late for that. All these groups want to guard their mailing list. Nobody's allowed to see their mailing list. They don't help the people talk to each other. I'm thinking especially of the Ron Paul campaign and what has survived it. We don't believe in that. Yeah, we want everybody to be talking.
What you've talked about here is very constructive and instructive, and most people, if they've heard about it at all, they've heard very little, or they don't know about it at all, that we have these little political subdivisions smaller than a county where we can affect the makeup of the party, the makeup of all elected bodies, city, county, state, federal, presidential, and the process or procedure of the elections to where we could return them to hand counted at the precinct level, meaning at your local polling station. Those ballots at that station would be counted immediately once the election.
Before they leave the public site. That's what the secret is. It's paper ballots.
And so with those reforms, changing the makeup of the party, nominating different candidates, this way, as I see it, you'd also have a means of challenging these incumbents that keep getting elected again and again and again and doing nothing.
Exactly, or doing things against us quietly. That's correct. And once this got rolling and people saw this is where it's at, not just going to, I mean, those Trump rallies were fun. I went to them. Buchanan rallies were fun. Ron Paul rallies were great. I wasn't picking on Ron Paul's group or campaign over anybody else. I'm just saying they all have hoarded the mailing list. Can't do that now. We got to quickly grow. We'll get a few infiltrators in there. That's not the problem. The problem is to alert all the good people what to do. And we will overwhelm them. We will overwhelm them in the Republican Party when enough people get involved.
Yeah, thereby changing the nature of the party. And that's not to diminish other parties that are trying to get ballot access, like the Constitution Party, a lot of good people. But, you know, we need to work with what we have as well. And the fact that you can change the election counting procedure as well as the makeup of these parties at the different levels, from local all the way up to presidential and everything in between, and the fact that you can challenge incumbents that you can't seem to get rid of, and the fact that you can nominate better candidates in their place, that it fires on all those cylinders, and it's easy. All you need is a few votes, and a lot of people, there's a lot of vacancies that good people can fill. So this is the time for real patriots to step forward, and this is the means to do it.
That's correct.
Okay, networkamerica.org, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Jim Condon, and you can write to info@networkamerica.org to get involved in these conference conversations and therefore to get involved in the precinct level. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Well, thank you as always. Thank you, Mark.
Great. Yeah, very constructive info, very practical stuff today. We'll see everybody next time here on Stop the Presses. Have a great weekend and a great Good Friday.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.